Thank you so much. And I thank God for being able to be here. Looking at my story and things like that, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I came into this program on April 1st, 2007, which was April Fool's Day, and God tricked me into coming into the room. I had a similar background to many of us. My family was in the catering business. I had full access to walk-in refrigerators, walk-in freezers, bakery goods, and I availed myself of it. Before the stealing cars was fast and furious, I was eating fast and furious. From the time I was about 8 years old, I started, putting on weight. I remember being in husky sizes. I remember the seams of the jeans splitting and the skin coming out. Interestingly enough, scholastically, I did fine, but physically and what have you, I was always the last person chosen for the team, or next to the last, somewhere in that vicinity. And that was really the way my life was. I graduated. From I got bullied in junior high and senior high. I went from high school. When I was in high school, I was when I graduated, I was 5'10". When after my first year in college, I was 6'4". And you would have thought that would have been fine, growing 6 inches in a year. Except for the fact that they thought I was on the football team and I wasn't. And so I got to go through the athletes line in the dormitory. And I availed myself of that too. They had all you could eat and every dessert. And so I did that as well. I don't know what it is, but I didn't have a real problem dating. I graduated from college, went to graduate school. I got married, had two children, two daughters, and I'm still married. And it's been, I don't know how it happens, but it has been 44 years, which is unbelievable. I sort of like to tell the story of how I got here, that about 4 months before I came into this program, I had a dream. And I dreamt that I was lying in my grave looking up, and my two daughters, who were 20 and 24 at the time, were looking down, watching their father be buried and crying. And there was nothing I could do. I was paralyzed. There was nothing I could do except watch them cry. And that was my vision of the future. I was really just ready to die. And I came into this program, and also part of that recollection is that for the 7 years preceding coming in, I was doing marathons, 100-mile bike rides, and triathlons, weighing 385 pounds. Most people wait until they lose weight to do these things, but not me. I just learned how to do them without injuring myself. And I told myself that I wanted to be, if I lost weight, trying to over-exercise, trying to be an exercise bulimic, that if I lost weight, I wanted to be able to walk when I was 65. And so I took classes. I took classes on particularly on walking marathons. I was able to swim. I got up to being able to swim 2.5 or 2 miles. I biked 100 miles, and I did the marathons for 26 miles. Not a lot of them, but just some. But I survived, and without injury. But I also realized that in as part of that was you got to they encouraged. They encouraged binging, although they wouldn't say that. They encouraged, carbohydrate loading and, pardon me, but the all you can eat type of things, and so after 7 years of exercising strenuously, hours a day. I did lose weight. I lost 15 pounds in 7 years. And so I got down to 370 fighting weight. And what happened was, I wrote an article, I wrote a presentation called First Race, Last Place, Leading from Behind. And in this group that I belonged to at that time, they said, Cliff, you need to tell that story. You need to let people know. And I thought to myself, why? I didn't accomplish what I wanted. I wanted to lose weight. And it just didn't happen. And it so happened that in this group, they had a group that you had a topic for the day. And the topic for the day was National Alcohol Awareness Day. I thought that is the worst topic I've heard in 10 years. But I was responsible for it. I looked it up and naturally brought me to AA, which reminded me of having gone to an OA meeting 35 years before. 35 years before with my mother. Now, my mother died when she was 51, and it's part of this, and that was always going to be my destiny. In fact, today is the anniversary of her death. Excuse me. She's been gone for 46 years, 48 years, something like that. Anyway, and that was hard. That was hard. She had a mantra. It was taken from a comedy club. It was called, Please God, Let Me Die Skinny. And now I say, well, if you please God, you will. But it's not just a plea for help. It's actually taking action. And when I went into that meeting, it was on the phone and in person. If I'd known it was on the phone, I would have called, listened for about 3.5 minutes, hung up and just gone to go binge. But instead, I went there. I hated the meeting because of the clicks and beeps and all these interruptions and bombers and whatever it may be, but stupidly I gave my phone number, and somebody actually called me before I even got out of the driveway. I heard at that meeting that one day at a time, honesty will kill this disease. If you focus on the weight, you'll lose the recovery. If you focus on the recovery, you'll lose the weight. And I heard one woman say she'd lost 130 pounds in a year without exercising. And here I'd been busting everything to get out there and lose weight. I did, it didn't, I really still didn't intend to be there, but for some reason the next day, my wife was playing, Mahjong or bridge or something like that. And so I had the night off. And this was my strange mental twist. I thought, well, I wonder if there's another meeting. And so I went to to another meeting. I got to see the difference between, if it works for you, fine, but the difference between traditional and a more structured plan. And it hurt. But about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, somebody asked me, "Have you found a sponsor?" And I thought to myself, "Hell no, I haven't found a sponsor. I'm not looking for something that works. I'm looking for something that fails. Everything else is failing. Time is up. Next 10 minutes or 20." Oh, okay. Whew. Okay. Time passes.
But
So
the next buzzer means you'll have 5 more minutes, and then I'll give you a 1 minute warning, as you
beautiful.
asked.
Thank you, Paula. So anyway, God, where was I? I didn't have a sponsor. I said, hell no, I'm not looking. I don't have a sponsor. I'm not looking for a sponsor. I'm looking for something that fails, not something that works. And she gave me a piece of paper and said, he's busy, but maybe he can help you get started. And I crumpled it up in my jeans. The next day, I had actually signed up for the bariatric surgery orientation. Months before, I went to that. I saw some guy there, a tall, slender guy in a white coat who said, no flour, no sugar, no sweeteners, no caffeine. And he didn't say it quite like that, but he said, you don't get flour because it gums up the opening. You don't get sugar because it causes the dumping syndrome. And it's going to take you 2 hours to drink a diet drink. So that got rid of my caffeine and my sweeteners. And I said, well, let's see here. At that time, it was $2 a meeting versus $60,000. And I thought, okay, I think I'll try OA. And I, you know, the interesting, one of the interesting things was they said, well, if you can't afford $60,000, that's why we have the I can't remember that where they do the tying of the thing. I can't remember what it is right now. Anyhow, and he said, we have that because you can do it just like financing a car. And I thought, oh my God, I'm buying surgery from, and if you did that, I would have done it if I had the money. I'm not judging anybody, but my immediate thought was, I'm buying surgery from a used car salesman in a white coat. And I took that piece of paper out of my pocket. I called that guy the next day. He said, if you'll come to this meeting on Wednesday, he said, I will help you get started. He was my sponsor for 8.5 years. And still we stay in touch, different situations. But like I said, I lost in, it took me 15 months to lose 190 pounds without exercising. I have to say that because most of the time you think, oh goodness, he just exercises like crazy. No, I prepare my foods. I have my meals done in advance. I make outreach calls. I'm sponsored. I attend 3 meetings a week. I make, like I said, 3 phone calls a day. And there are so many stories. This is an incredible program. It is a program of miracles. I remember thinking, all I'm doing, my sponsor would say, Cliff, you're surrendering. I said, you call it surrender, I call it a diet. It's just a diet to me. At least I was being honest. And that was true until about 2.5 years into it. My wife usually has a scoop of the cold stuff at night before she goes to bed. And I was preparing my meals that night. I said, when she went to bed, I said, well, I deserve a bite of that stuff. I've been doing this for 2.5 years. And once she went to bed, I went to the drawer, pulled out a spoon, went to the freezer, pulled out the half gallon, and I started eating it. And then I blacked out. woke up and half of it was gone. And my first thought was, oh my God, I have to go and replace this at midnight and, and eat away the portion my wife had eaten so that she wouldn't know that I had had it. I'm a pretty good compulsive overeater, devious, but anyhow, 5 minutes to go. So anyway, I thought that I was going to have to go there, and I thought to myself, oh my God, I am a compulsive overeater, and my life has become unmanageable. But it took me, that was a dream. That was a dream. It took me 2.5 years before I fully took step one in a dream. I've since done it, obviously, many times. I thought I was doing it before. What is it like now? Well, I've got instead of my daughters seeing their father be buried, I've walked both of them down the aisle. I have 4 grandsons, 2 from each one. One of the amazing things about program was that after the birth of my first one, I could get down on the floor and crawl, and he would crawl after me, and I could get back up without under my own power, under the power of God. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. So I share one more story, and actually in a conclusion. A year ago, I have had atrial fibrillation for over 30 years. And a year ago, I was swimming and got a blood clot. So I was already on blood thinners and everything like that. The doctors tried to change it. They changed it a couple of times. It ended up thinning my blood. There was misdiagnoses. I got a hematoma. I was admitted to the hospital. And I also have a defibrillator implanted. And I was there for 10 days. They were getting ready to discharge me. My defibrillator went off, shocked the heck out of me. And I was in ICU for a night, and then I went into out of a room, and the cardiologist came up to my room with the intern, and they're smiling. They're smiling. And I'm going, you don't see doctors smile, let alone cardiologists. And he said, yes, you did get shocked. He said, but you got shocked back into sinus rhythm. And we've never seen that in anyone who's had over 30 years of AFib. He said, but not only that, that of course can go back. You can revert to AFib. He said, not only that though, but I'd been diagnosed as having advanced heart failure and about 3 or 4 years ago. And he said that my heart function improved more than 40%. He said, we don't think that's going to change because we believe the heart is a resilient muscle. And that was over a year ago, and it's still going and it's still happening. And God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. I couldn't have planned it. Interestingly enough, when I went into the hospital, it was actually my birthday, and I sort of figured both of my parents, having predeceased me, were up there talking to God and saying, God, we'd really like to get Cliff a good birthday present, but we don't know what. And I figured that God shoved him aside and said, thank you very much. He says, I'll take care of this. And I'm ever so grateful to OA and the program. What I, you know, when I walked into that room on April 1st, 2007, have 1 minute. I was waiting to die. When you see a candle and you blow that candle out and you see that wisp of smoke go up, and you look back at the candle, and there is a little orange ember on it. That was me. I was a little orange ember just waiting to go out. And it was only in this room, only in these rooms, that you and God started gently blowing on that ember until it came back to full flame. And the thing about it is a little orange ember can't light its own path. I couldn't light my own path. I needed y'all. And but it, not even in a dark room, but what happened was that once you're at full flame, you can light your own path and you can help light others. And in a room full of flames, it's bright light. And anyway, with that, I am, thank y'all. And if I can do it, if God does it for me, he can do it for you one day at a time. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.